Dear radio friends, today we consider another one of the signs that Jesus gives in Matthew 24 of His coming and of the end of the world. In Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." In connection with that, I want to read a couple other passages in Scripture, first from Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." This passage is telling us that those Old Testament events of the destruction of the world during the time of Noah in the flood and of the destruction of Sodom by fire and brimstone were God-ordained Old Testament pictures of the coming end of the world. They were types of what will come at the end of the world. And there's two points of comparison. The first point of comparison is this, that the wickedness of those days will characterize the wickedness of the last days. The second point of comparison is this, that as the world was suddenly destroyed in the days of Noah and Lot, so it will be suddenly destroyed at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. And so to help us understand what Jesus means here by abounding iniquity in the last days, we want to turn back to those Old Testament passages in the book of Genesis. And I want to read a few verses from both Genesis 6 and Genesis 19. Beginning in Genesis 6, we have a description of the abounding iniquity of the days in which Noah lived. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then in verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Similarly, we read in Genesis chapter 19 of what was going on in Sodom in the days of Lot, just before God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom. Two men come into the city of Sodom, and Lot invites them into his home. And before they lay down, we read in Genesis 19, verse 4, "The men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot, and said, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." There are two other Old Testament passages that I have in mind as I think about abounding iniquity. One is Judges chapter 21. This describes the situation in Israel in the days of the judges. There was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. And the other passage is Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, where Isaiah says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Well, back in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, this is what Jesus has in mind. The word iniquity there, "because iniquity shall abound," is literally no law, or without law, or against the law. The law, of course, here is God's law. And Jesus speaks of a day when God's law will be thrown out. This is the same word that's used in reference to the last days in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it speaks of the rise of Antichrist. It calls him the man of sin who opposes and exalts himself against God. And then verse 8 calls him that wicked or that lawless one, the same root word. And so verse 7 says that the mystery of iniquity, this mystery of lawlessness, is already working, a standing up in opposition to the law of God, which will culminate in the kingdom of Antichrist. Now that helps us to understand the kind of wickedness that Jesus has in mind here that will characterize the last days. It will not be simply a disobedience to the law of God, or a failure to keep the law of God, but it will be a deliberate despising of and overturning of God's law, and a rejection then of God Himself, the lawgiver. Jesus has in mind here a very developed and sophisticated form of rejection to the law of God. Not just anarchy in society, nor is He talking about an increase in crime that you'll read about in the papers, but He's talking about the things which were once done in secret because of their sin, once punished because of their wickedness, will be done openly and fragrantly in opposition to, deliberate opposition to, the law of God and to God Himself. Evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. And these things will be sanctioned by the government and the rulers of the land. An orderly and peaceful society will reject God and will reject His laws, and evildoers will no longer be called evildoers or punished, and those who hold to God's law will be persecuted. This is the kind of lawlessness that characterized Sodom. Here was just Lot, his righteous soul vexed day by the wickedness of Sodom. And then that night, when he took into his home those visitors, the men of the city, that is, the rulers and people from every walk of life in the city, came and surrounded the house to sodomize and to rape the men who had come to see Lot. This was sanctioned by the rulers of the land. This is the kind of wickedness that Jesus has in mind. And certainly we see evidences of this in the day and age in which we live. There is God's law on human sexuality and on marriage. It's a law not only written on the pages of Scripture very clearly, but written in the very creation of man as male and female, and written on the conscience of man. And what we see is not just disobedience to this law, a moral lapse. Here's the law, and it's fail, and men fail to keep it. But we see this, that here's the law, and society is not only going to do exactly the opposite to what the law of God demands, but we're going to overturn the law. We're going to condone the breaking of the law. We're going to persecute those who insist on the keeping of the law of God with regard to marriage as a lifelong bond between one man and one woman. And all of this is done under the guise of equal rights for humans, anti-discrimination, and peace for society. And Christian retailers, and Christian churches, and Christians in the end will pay the price for their obedience and love for the law of God. And that, of course, is not the only example. Another outstanding example is abortion. This is one of the greatest evils of our modern society. There's no question that it's murder. A doctor cuts limbs and organs from a living baby in the mother's womb. This has gone on now for more than 40 years, sanctioned by the law. Evil has been called good. And you see in abortion the sophistication of this. This is a gruesome behavior. But so long as it's done inside the womb where it can't be seen and where the cries of the baby cannot be heard, as long as it's done under the cover of choice and the banner of women's rights and citizens' freedoms, then it's presented as something that's good. And it's justified in the conscience by committing a worse evil, using the aborted fetuses and embryos for research. And this is excused as medical research, which will preserve other lives. Now, those are just two outstanding examples, but they are not the only evils endorsed in a lawless society. And what it points to is a deeper resistance to all of God's commandments and law. In the text, Jesus speaks of iniquity shall abound, or abounding iniquity. And that means that this iniquity, this lawlessness, this resistance to God's word and law will come in every segment of society, at every level, and every kind of evil. And there'll be a tidal wave of evil, as it were, that sweeps across the world in the days before Jesus comes. Because the spirit of the age will be a spirit of lawlessness, a spirit of setting aside the authority of God's law and setting up man as God. Now, as we think about this, it's important for us to remember that this abounding lawlessness is a sign of the coming of Jesus Christ. And that means two things. First, it means this, that this is nothing new. As 2 Thessalonians 2 says, there is a spirit of lawlessness and a mystery of lawlessness that already works. And so, though there's an increasing frequency and intensity in this sign, it's always been present in this world against God. You see, the world that we live in is not going to become a better place. There's not a future golden age that we as Christians can expect. That just isn't true. And if we think that, we'll be deceived and we'll be disappointed. You see, the examples that I just referred to, they're not new. The Supreme Court's recent decision in our land to approve homosexual marriage, for example, doesn't start with homosexuality, but it goes back into our society to some things that have happened decades earlier. The approval of sexual immorality. You think, for example, of the sexual revolution of the 60s, and teenage sex, and sex in high schools, and taking the law down out of the institutions and the entertainment industry and what that purports and puts forth as normal in our society. And so when we see evil endorsed, what we're really seeing is a society that wants this, a mystery of iniquity working. Proverbs 28 verse 2 says this, "For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof." And it means this, that a wicked land will multiply wicked rulers. And this in the end is the judgment of God Himself on man. Romans 1 says that God gives them over to their reprobate minds, and that sin develops into greater sin and comes as the judgment of God on man's sin. And we can again think of the examples. A society legalizes a sin, and then in order to deal with that sin, it legalizes a greater sin. Just think of this. The legalizing of abortion follows on the permissiveness of a society with regard to sexuality. And so sin develops. And we should look at this not only as something that we see developing around us in society, but we should look to the source of this development as well. Where does it come from? It comes from pride in the heart of man. It comes from man's desire for pleasure. It comes from man's pride standing up against the law of God. And that's a pride, and that's a selfishness that we have in our hearts too. And so our calling as the people of God is to preach the gospel. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Jesus says that in just a couple verses. And that gospel not only points out what God's law requires, but it gives an answer to the sinfulness of the heart of man and calls man to repentance and faith and forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the other thing we should understand about this abounding wickedness as a sign of the coming of Jesus Christ is that it's a necessary part of His coming, that it prepares for the final coming of Jesus Christ, that it's something that must take place before He comes, that through this wickedness in society, Jesus Himself is coming. And now we think again of the Old Testament pictures of the flood and the days of Sodom. Just as the world before the flood, by its wickedness, was preparing itself for final judgment and destruction that came through the flood so that God could save His church, and just as Sodom, by its wickedness, was preparing itself for the day of fire and brimstone so that God could deliver just Lot out of Sodom, so today the world is being prepared for the day of final judgment. It's filling up its cup of iniquity. And as Psalm 7 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. And He has wet His sword and bent His bow and made it ready and prepared for Him the instruments of death. And when Jesus comes, not only will He destroy in judgment all that's opposed to Him, but in deliverance He will save His people and bring them to life and glory. And so we have to see, Jesus is coming also in this wickedness. But now let's understand that there's a danger which this abounding lawlessness poses to the church and the people of God. And you see that in the text in Matthew 24 when Jesus says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The love that Jesus is speaking of here is the love of His church, the love of the people of God for God and for His law. There's no love for God in the world. They never loved God. They never cared about the law of God. The natural man despises God and His word. But God's people love Him. God's church is His bride in this world, and she loves her husband. And so what Jesus is talking about here is the love that believers have for Himself and for the gospel and for the word and for the church of Christ and the cause of Christ in this world. And Jesus is warning that because iniquity shall abound, that love may well wax cold in the church. Jesus doesn't say that because of cold hearts, iniquity shall abound. But He says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Wax cold has the idea of a flame being blown out and of tapering away. And the cold winds that come and blow on that are the abounding wickedness and lawlessness of society, the open adultery of the world, the permissiveness of the world, the tolerance of the world. These things blow into the lives of the people of God and into the church of God. And the people of God will sometimes let these things come into their homes and into their lives through movies and entertainment and internet and literature. And as they do this, it doesn't fuel their love for God, but it blows cold their love for God. Perhaps the most outstanding evidence of this in the church world today is what has happened to the fourth commandment of the law of God, where God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Today we see that the Lord's Day is treated like any other day, not just in the world, but in the church. It's a day for recreation, for family, for a football game, for camping. Attendance at worship services goes down on long weekends and in summer months. Second services have fallen away. And this is not a problem in society. They never loved God and His Word and the Sabbath. But the winds of pleasure and of money have blown into the church and fanned out the love of God's people. And now, because they've become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, the worship of God and the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God has lost its attraction. And so, because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. And now we see the warning and the danger here. We shouldn't think of lawlessness merely in terms of murder and burglary and riots and adulteries and scandal and homosexual marriage and the kingdom of Antichrist to come, but this lawlessness is a self-love. Rather than loving God, man loves himself. I love myself, and I use this world for myself and my pleasures. And then my love for God waxes cold. That's the warning that Jesus gives. And that's the warning of the days of Noah and the days of Lot also. They were eating and drinking and marrying. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with marrying. But these things became their gods. And they loved good food. They loved a glass of wine. They loved marrying. And they put those things first. And their love for God waxed cold and wickedness abounded. And so we have to watch and be careful and be on our guard. And we have to understand the importance here of personal obedience to the law of God, and that it's closely connected to our love for God. Not only this way, that our love shows itself by obedience, but also this way, that when we disobey, our love for God will deteriorate. It will grow cold. We often get the idea that we can have a fervent love for God and then go out and indulge in some sin. And then we're wrong. It's impossible. You cannot sit and watch the world's entertainment and take in the filth of the world. And then when the credits are done on the movie, go and pick up the Bible and read and pray with your wife and family with a clear conscience. No, our love for God will grow cold if we deliberately walk in sin and open the windows of our soul to sin. And so do you have your first love? And are you watching and aware of the danger of abounding lawlessness to your love for God? How do we respond? What's our calling in a world where lawlessness abounds? Well, we shouldn't be surprised by this. Jesus tells us these things as things that will really happen in the last days. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 4, we shouldn't think it strange when these things begin to happen. At the same time, though, we should be opposed to the wickedness of the world, and that opposition doesn't have this hope that we're going to change the world and stem the tide of evil, but more this, that there's a spiritual resistance to the world and its influences. And that spiritual resistance expresses itself in a spiritual separation from the world, not participating in the way of life of the world. And in this way, we are spiritually prepared and watching for the day of Jesus Christ. Then we are ready for the day when He will come. There will be an open conflict in this world between Christians and the godless and lawless society in which we live. And we prepare ourselves for that day by separating ourselves from the evils of the world and training our minds by the Word of God and not the entertainment and education and acceptance that's purported in our society. And that means that we have to oppose sin in our own hearts. That's the aim of Jesus' warning here. There's lawlessness and there's pride and there's resistance in our hearts to the Word and the law of God. And we need to repent of that and cherish instead in our hearts a love for God. And feed that love, not damage it. This is really what ought to terrify us about the lawlessness of the last days. Not that it's all around us, but that because of it, our love could grow cold. And so just as a man who loves his wife would never do anything to jeopardize that love and that relationship, so we fix our love on God and on Jesus Christ, our bride, who is to come. And then we depend on the preserving grace of God and His promises. In the next verse, Jesus says, "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's a wonderful promise. And we depend on the means of grace. We depend on God Himself to feed our souls to life eternal and to keep the flame of our love for Him alive. And then when we see the wickedness around us, and when we become aware of sin and its influences in our hearts and our lives, we cry out the more earnestly, "Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly." Let's pray. Father, keep us from the evil of our day. Keep us alert to the evil in our own hearts and the attractiveness of sin. Help us to be repentant. Keep us pure, separate, spiritually from the world around us. And keep us fixed on Jesus Christ in faith, looking for the day when He will come. May our souls be like the souls of Lot, righteous souls that are vexed day by day as we wait for Jesus' return. Come, Lord Jesus. Yea, come quickly. Amen.